Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday morning. Wednesday's brought to you by Metro Rooter here on Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Is it, you think it's too late to ask Hicken to bring Beef's dunce cap with him? That way I could just put it on, and when people like Amanda just walk by and give you that cockeyed look like, huh, what are you doing out here? I can just point to the cap and be like, I'm an idiot. What can I tell you?
I guess.
You think?
I mean, maybe. Look, it's we don't see much of what's going on at practice regularly anyway. I mean, it's part of the idea of being out here is we talk to the people who do see everything that's going
Correct.
On at practice. And we'll be talking to them again today. Again, DeRocco going to be joining us here in a couple minutes. And we'll have Frank Frangie on a little bit later on. We'll hear from Gus Bradley from yesterday if we can't catch up with somebody else out there at practice. But you can feel the buzz. Already a pretty good crowd in there. And so there is a lot of excitement about these two teams being in here. They really were apparently concerned that with 180 people walking in as opposed to 90, that we would be in the way.
Did anyone tell them that the players don't walk in shoulder to shoulder in one horizontal line
at
the same time?
And
they kind of trickle in.
And we're done broadcasting by the time they're coming off.
Yeah, there's that as well. But
so, whatever. We are where we are, and we'll make the best of it.
We're trying to not have Paul Spicer trip and fall. He was. I saw Spice in the hallway. I said, you know, just kind of joking around. I said, hey, take it easy on us this morning. He goes, hey, we're not the ones with all these high-priced free agents coming in, all these big money guys. You take it easy on us.
Wait a second there, Spice. Y'all spent your money this offseason, too.
Oh, sure they have. Sure they have. But I don't know if they spent Malik Jackson money on anybody this offseason.
No, they didn't spend Malik Jackson money on Robert Ayers.
There may have been a little wistfulness in Spice thinking, man, you know, everybody always thinks they're born too early. People 20 years before Spicer's time think that Spicer was the lucky one. Look at that minimum salary, Tony. It keeps going up. But get your piece in $90 million. We'll see. It'll be fun to hear about how these guys fare against, you know, look, I think you get in a routine like we talked with Jeff Logman yesterday where whether you know the exact play that's coming, you know the looks that are coming, there are only so many things that the other team is going to do. And I don't know how much that can sharpen you up after a certain point, right? Because you can't anticipate that. Other than you do film study and you try to pick up other teams' tendencies, but they're always constantly trying to trick you and give you a look that makes you think you're getting something when you're getting something else.
Yeah, and I think maybe, you know, the biggest thing is when they go to one-on-ones today, it's not going to be Prince Amukamara against Allen Robinson. And maybe those two guys are just used to seeing one another. And instead it'll be Prince Amukamara against Mike Evans or Vincent Jackson, you know, or one of these other guys, one of these high-level wide receivers from somebody else. And for a guy like Mike Evans and, you know, the guys on the Tampa Bay squad, they're going to be going up against Jalen Ramsey and the Jaguars players as well. It's just a different look. You don't know quite what to expect from these guys. It's a much more competitive environment with another team coming in. It's not going to be as hyped up as it is, say, on Saturday when they're actually kicking off a preseason game. But there is a heightened environment out here when you go up against another guy in another uniform. In practice, you heard Jeff Logman talking about that yesterday. When he was doing one-on-ones, and all of a sudden there's 500 people watching him do a one-on-one against somebody wearing a different uniform, there's a different level of intensity with that than there is on a day-to-day basis at practice.
Yeah, you just feel like there's more scrutiny of what's going on, even though the coaches are grading you on every snap out there. By the way, if you're Prince Amukamara or one of these other cornerbacks and you're just sick of going up against Allen Robinson because it seems like he's really building on what he did last year when he went to the Pro Bowl with 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns, and he's just a big, physical, strong guy who can run and do all these things and high point the ball, and he's just so tough to deal with. Well, you get Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson, all right, because they got a pair of those guys down there.
Yes,
Vincent Jackson, maybe his best days are behind him. He's still an effective receiver. Mike Evans had a lot of drops last year, but in terms of just physical talent, young guy, still at 1,200 yards, despite the fact that he had issues, chemistry issues with Jameis Winston, and just hanging on to the football in general. They're thinking much like Blake Bortles has. Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee. They've got a young group to throw to. Jameis Winston and Mike Evans. Vincent Jackson will be around for a little bit longer, but those are the two that they're counting on to be the big hookup in that passing game.
Yeah, and I think for Jaguars fans that are making their way out here for the next couple of days and coming maybe again on Saturday night for week 2 of the preseason, I think it is interesting to watch. You know, there were a lot of fans here who look, it was the first time that we heard Caldwell and Bradley boot was when they drafted Blake Bortles. Now it's working out for him going into year three. Blake looks like he could be the real deal. But there were a lot of fans here in town that we know wanted Jameis Winston, you know, and because he was the Florida State guy, there's that local connection. He winds up in Tampa Bay the year after the number one pick in the draft last year. Now he's going into year two. And now you get 3 days between today, tomorrow, and Saturday to kind of compare Blake and Jameis and where they are. Right out there on the practice field, and whatever limited reps those two guys are going to get on Saturday night. So that's another interesting thing here to watch here over the course of the next couple of days.
By the way, when you just ran inside a moment ago, I was doing a little prep inside the stadium. So you were inside the practice area before they quickly chased you out, I'm sure. But when you went in there to talk to DeRocco, did you see Terrence in the sombrero? Was he here?
I have not seen Terrence.
No. I would figure he'd be first in line to see Robert Aguayo. Kick during this joint practice session, but maybe he's saving himself for tomorrow. I'm not sure.
I haven't seen Aguayo yet either.
No.
I wasn't really looking. The kickers get out here early, so he may have snuck.
They typically do. There are a bunch of guys out there on the practice field right now. You could probably maybe hear the music thumping a little bit in the background right now, but we'll be keeping track of things through, as Tony said, through the eyes of some of our observers out there. Mike DeRocco coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Will join us from ESPN. Frank Frangie going to stop by after that. We'll hear from Gus Bradley. He spoke after practice yesterday. Tony, our Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day today asked people which Jaguar player, which veteran Jaguar do they think is in danger of being a surprise cut? Certainly plenty of veterans will be cut from this football team. If I were to tell you Josh Evans were going to get cut, I don't think it's a big shock just based on the way the depth chart has changed at safety. I'm not saying that's a guarantee that Evans gets cut, but you know what I'm saying here. Is it a Cedric Marks? Is it a Denard Robinson? Is it a Tyson Alualu? Maybe it's somebody else you think that's in danger of not making the final 53 when they ultimately head into the 2016 regular season. So give your thoughts on that on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler, who is ensconced back at 1010XL World Headquarters. Jaguars today, Facebook page up and rolling, 641-1010 if you want to get in today. Although I think a lot of our listening audience might be inside the gates at the moment right now, although hopefully we have a lot more.
Can our callers call in and give a live report from the bleachers?
Are they allowed to do that? I don't see why not.
They could call from the sidelines.
Yeah, it's a public practice. Yeah. There's no state secrets. Absolutely, if you're on the sideline, of course, you'd probably have to be listening to us right now on the 1010XL mobile app. But if you are and you want to, you're certainly welcome to do that. Heck, you can stop by the booth and hang out. We got plenty of space for you out here on this side of things. So we'll get to all those things coming up today. We'll check the text line as we go along at 641-1010. It's driven by Duval Ford as well. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. Mike DeRocco from ESPN, formerly of the Florida Times Union. He's been covering the Jags for a while now. Will join us coming up in just a few minutes as we get things started. Jags and the Bucks, day one of 2 days of joint practices, getting ready for Saturday's preseason week number two contest right here at Everbank. With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey, live at Everbank for Jaguar Training Camp on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University. Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser. Add a little fun to your morning ride.
Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late.
On 1010XL.
I guess it could be fun.
92.5 FM.
Fun.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we set the shuttle, Tony, huh? Picked up D-Rock inside.
We got him.
Excellent. Did you get the shuttle or did you walk out here? You didn't walk out here.
No, I got the shuttle right
by
the airport parking.
Excellent. Yeah. Yes. Is that what that monorail is for? Now we know what it's for, man. Where did you park, by the way?
Just out of curiosity. My normal spot normally park.
Kind of did, too.
Yeah.
They might have been trying to direct us elsewhere this morning.
You just don't listen. You just drive where you look like you know where you're going.
Yes, sir.
And leave you alone.
I said, I'm going to go right in here and then I'm going to turn and go out the other side. Is that okay? I did. He's like, absolutely.
Yeah.
No problem, man. How you doing? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm just a little bit squishy from the 10, 20 minutes I've already been out there practicing.
It's humid, you're telling us.
Yeah, to be honest, it's as bad as it was the first week, I think. So obviously you feel bad for the people sitting in the stands with no cover watching this. And
for the players as well.
But we've got something else to see now. We've got a team wearing a different uniform. And
By the way, their practice jerseys are hideous.
The Tampa, Bucks?
It's bad.
It's just a practice jersey.
They're just white.
Yeah, it's bad.
I tell you what I love, though, is that the quarterbacks are wearing the old creamsicle jerseys. I love that.
That is kind of cool, right?
I love that, yeah.
We're used to not hitting red. You can't hit the milky orange either or whatever.
It's ball color.
However else you would describe it. Well, you can hit that around these
Dante
parts.
Dante Fowler is probably going to destroy two or three of those creamsicle jerseys this afternoon.
And don't you think, as much as it's fun for the fans to see something different, probably the players, I would think they love it, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, you don't want to go up against a guy who's not, you know, respecting you, or as long as everybody's, you know, not doing anything like trying to cut block people and things like that. You just want to see some different looks, and you get sick of hitting on the same guy all the time.
Yeah, and Roy Miller told me something really interesting yesterday that I really thought about. He's like, I'm going up against Brandon Linder every day. He's like, I know what Brandon's strengths are, what his weaknesses are. I know what counters he likes to use, all that other stuff. He's like, that's not necessarily getting me better. He's like, now I know how to beat Brandon Linder. Well, that's great, but I don't play Brandon Linder. I need to see some of these other guys so I can work on some other stuff, get different looks and stuff like that. So, you know, he said, I'm not practicing to beat Brandon Linder.
Right, and obviously they're not playing the Bucks either, but it's just you don't know what's coming, I think is the idea of it. What do you make of what was coming in week one when they played the Jets? Everyone happy about the offensive quick start? I mean, that was a focus going in. Were you overall pleased from the perspective of, you know, I know you're an independent journalist, and, you know, I'm trying to put this in the right terms. You know, what was your takeaway from how they started?
Well, I think they've been talking about starting fast. And I asked Blake a question. I said, does that necessarily mean getting points on that first or second drive? Or does it mean, you know, not going three and out, getting a couple of first downs and stuff? And he goes, look, the best thing would be, it'd be great if we could just go down and, you know, not have to face a third down and score. And they damn near did it, because the only reason they didn't get that, they had to face that third down, was because of the low throw and Julius Thomas couldn't catch it.
Right.
You know, and that forced them to, you know, kick a field goal eventually. But I thought the offense did everything that they wanted to do. And they ran the ball pretty well, which I was a little bit surprised considering the, you know, Shatley and Reed at left guard and center there. So you can't be anything but pleased. I think Blake would probably want to have that throw to Allen Robinson back a little bit, because I think he could have led him a little bit more. It would have been an easier touchdown. But other than that, you know, I think there's not much, if anything, to complain about.
Yeah, it feels like for a team that has said that we want to start fast, we want to get off the field on third down, that's what the entire offseason has been about. I think you can only have positive things to say in those two areas coming out of the first preseason game. Now, what does that mean in the grand scope? Not much. Right, but
today and tomorrow means more.
Right, but it means something, considering if they're going to focus on that as much as they have, then you want to see it show up every time they step onto a field, and at least they're one for one in big time moments like that. I think we go back to talking about, you know, you get used to playing against the guys that are on your team and learning how to beat Brandon Linder. How does that really help you? And I think that's where the evaluation in games becomes so critical. Yeah. Is these guys are going up against guys that they don't see every day in practice. So how much can you really evaluate a guy who's seeing somebody for, you know, the 150th rep against him, as compared to a guy that he's going up against for the first time and trying to figure out how to beat him on the fly?
Yeah, and you know, that's why I think today and tomorrow is probably the most important things that they'll get out of the entire preseason, because the ones are going to get way more reps against the Bucks ones today and tomorrow than they will in any of the preseason games. With maybe the exception of the third one, they'll play into the second half. But really, honestly, this over the next 2 days is going to be a good look at how good this team is. And look, there's a lot of pressure on this team. I wrote that this morning. The players don't want to admit it, but the bottom line is you've rebuilt your defense. You say you've done some stuff on the offensive line to get it better. You've added playmakers at free safety. You drafted Ramsey, you drafted Jack, so you should be better. So if you come out here against the Bucks, which is a team pretty much in similar situation to you guys, and you don't perform well, and you get dominated, and you can't protect Blake, and, you know, he throws three picks, or Winston leads the offense up and down with no problem, then you start being concerned, you know. But I think if they perform well, then you really got to start getting excited for what this team might be able to do this season.
And I understand what you're saying. There is pressure to win. Players have expectations. They get paid to win, not just to show up and play. But the greatest pressure, I think, is clearly on Gus Bradley and his coaching staff.
Yeah.
Because you look, Mike, all the narrative this offseason is what a terrific offseason it's been, how much more talented the roster is. I don't think Dave Caldwell has a hint of worry about his place in the organization. You know what I mean? I mean, you look around and you say, wow, this. Well, Dave Caldwell brought it all to the table here. And in conjunction with Gus Bradley, have that vision to try to grow a young nucleus together. You're at the point now where you feel like they can do some damage, but you can't just feel that way. You got to go out and execute it now if you're Gus.
Yeah, and you have to be a team, and I know I've talked about this before, but it's sort of like the big thing that I'm looking forward to finding out about this team. You have to be a team that is better at the beginning of the season than this team has been. 3-20 in September and October, last three seasons under Gus. You can't go out there and go 1-3, 0-4, 1-5, 1-6, because then you've pretty much sealed your fate. They've got to win games, and they've got to win games early in the season. And they have the personnel to be a competitive team in the NFL. I don't think that there's any way that you can look at this roster and look at the 2013 roster and not see how this roster beats that team by two touchdowns.
Right.
So you're a much better team now. You've got Pro Bowl caliber players on your team on both sides of the ball. So go win games.
Yeah, and I think that's in part why they're having a scrimmage this year against the Bucs and they haven't done it in the first couple of years. I don't think they wanted to bring in a team that would embarrass them a couple of days in practice in front of their own fans.
Yeah, they were doing a good enough job of that on their own.
Right. They didn't need to add that kind of insult
exactly.
to that injury. And look, I agree with you. I think the first, you know, 6-8 games of the season are so critical for this football team to not build themselves a hole like they have the first couple of years, which they've been good enough at doing inside games too. We've talked about their first quarter scoring and how bad that's been, 35 points last year. When you look at the other three quarters, that's where the frustration really comes in for me. They were no worse than 7th in the NFL in any other quarter scoring. So they're a top 7 NFL offense outside of the first quarter of football games last year, and you look at the first quarter of the schedule this year, and granted, they're playing some really tough quarterbacks with Rodgers and Rivers and Flacco coming in. We'll see what he looks like coming off the ACL injury, and then Luck in week 4. But it's not four really great football teams. It's a couple really, really good football teams and a couple that are trying to find themselves right now in San Diego and Baltimore.
Yeah, but four really good quarterbacks.
No doubt.
You know, and that's...
And they've been
torched
by that.
Right. Particularly by Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been embarrassing what he's done to them. So, look, my thing about that whole, the first game, the Packers coming in, look, I'm not saying the Jags got to win that game. But the Jags can't lose that game 44-17.
Right.
That game got to be, you know, that game's got to be like 37-35, you know, something close, you know, within 10 points, you know, and not because you got a late score at the end of the game. You know, they got to be competitive in that game. But those first four games, it's Luck, it's Flacco, it's Rivers, and it's Aaron Rodgers. That's a pretty tough stretch. So
it is, but
let's see what that new secondary can do against that.
Right. And Luck is, by most accounts, having just a mediocre training camp so far. Didn't play great last year. That team, Mike, they don't worry me that much. I don't think they have much on defense at all.
No, I agree with that.
You know, they have some good skill position guys on offense, but I don't know if they can protect Andrew Luck any better than they did the first 3 years he was here. Now, that was good enough for them to win 11 games each of those years, but that doesn't intimidate me. And Joe Flacco's coming off an ACL. We don't know, and not that mobility is a big part of his game, but we just don't know if he's going to look the same right out of the gates, you know. And by the way, Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, dig in your heels, buddy. I mean, this is a case that really impacts.
Stand strong, right?
The entire
union,
union first. Come on, man. Let's get with it, right? I mean, if you want to take the first weekend off, that would be okay with me.
But if nothing else, I mean, when you look at that first month, I agree. I don't know how good Luck is right now. I don't know how good Flacco is going to be coming off the ACL. San Diego is a bad football team. The problem for the Jaguars has been the last couple of years, it doesn't matter how bad the football team is. If the quarterback's been good,
that's right,
they get killed by it.
Yeah.
And they just haven't been good enough to get off the field on third down, cover anybody for any length of time. And that's supposed to be different this year.
56 has got to be a guy. He's got to be a guy that can get consistent pressure. And you would hope that you're going to get some interior from Malik Jackson and Sendarek Marks. But really, you know, if Phillip Rivers has all the time in the world, it's going to be a long day. I mean, may not necessarily be a loss, but it might be a long day because he is so smart, and we saw how he was able to pick apart this defense the last couple of years with precision, and you just can't allow that. So you got to get in his face. You got to move him around.
It is so funny you mentioned 56 needs to show up. We got a tweet yesterday. did they ask Dante to take it easy in the first preseason game? It's like, man, expectations. You know, the guy has some good training camp practices.
He lined up a couple times against Ryan Clady.
Right, I mean, who has been at times one of the best in the league.
Four-time Pro Bowl or two-time first-team All-Pro.
What are you looking for this week as a step in the right direction? I'm talking about on Saturday night now. What are you looking to see on the field that tells you the Jags are continuing to make the progress they need to make?
Well, I want to see them run the ball against what should be a pretty good defensive front. I don't know what we're going to see at the offensive line. You know, I don't know who's going to be where yet still. I think the Jags don't even know. You know, maybe Kelvin Beachum's at left tackle. I would like to see this first unit offensive line at some point go against an opponent, with either, whether it's Beachum and Joko, whichever part on the left, and then the rest of the guys. I don't think we're going to see that. But I do want to see I want to see turnovers. If you're the Jags fans, you probably want to see some turnovers. I mean, they've been really good at forcing them in camp. That may or may not be a good thing. But I really want to – they didn't get any against the Jets. They didn't get any against in the scrimmage. So I want to see some turnovers. Those are the two biggest things I want to see, running the ball against a good defensive front. And they did that against the Jets, which isn't – you know, it's not a bad defensive front by any stretch of the imagination.
They're really good when they have Muhammad Wilkerson. Right. But even without him, Sheldon Richardson and Leonard Williams are pretty good players up
so
there.
So I want to see that, and I want to see this defense get some turnovers.
All right, he's Mike DeRocco. Just now that you've stopped sweating, it's time to get on that shuttle, buddy, and head on back out there and take in a little Jaguar
I don't know if
practice.
You've got another guest coming by, but don't let him sit in this chair.
Is that right? Oh, Frangie, coming up next on the program. Mikey, always good to see you, D-Rock, and we'll keep reading you on ESPN.com, and we'll see you over the next couple days and Saturday night.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes, Mike DeRocco. Tony, we got Reggie on the line. Let's get a quick call or two in before we break here at 641-1010. Did he fall off, Tyler? Okay, my bad. He said – he was talking about how important it was to win this game this weekend. I don't think it's important to win. It's important for the ones to perform and win in the sense that they outperform the Buccaneers' front line, first stringers. But the final score, I'm not going to get too upset about it.
No.
One way or the other, depending on how it goes down. All right, we'll come back with the voice of the Jaguars. Frank Frangie will join us here live at Everbank, just outside the Florida Blue practice fields. Jags and Bucks on the field. Day one of two joint practices, and they are serious about pre-registration. If you didn't pre-register, you're going to get turned away at the gate. So hopefully you did that, and you're going to make your way out here over the next couple of days. And if you do, let me know what you saw when you were in there. Please stop by the booth and pass that along if you could. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday at Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars took the field today for day one of joint practice with the Tampa Bay Bucks. The teams will participate in a joint practice today and tomorrow. No more tickets are available for practice, and no walk-ups will be allowed if you haven't already registered for your ticket. Now, the second preseason game of the year is Saturday at 7:30 against the Bucks. So if you didn't get a ticket, don't worry. We'll see you at the bank on Saturday. Now, some key rookies were back at practice yesterday. Cornerback Jalen Ramsey and middle linebacker Miles Jack. One rookie to keep an eye on, though, who wasn't at practice with a back injury was defensive tackle Sheldon Day. The Jags did announce that single-game tickets are sold out for the season opener against Green Bay on September 11th. There is limited amount of standing room-only tickets for sale now. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it's time to go home. What is it, 6 or 7 in the afternoon? They get off like 5 these days, don't they, Tony?
I told you last time I was here, 6 o'clock shooting for 5.
Okay. 6 o'clock shooting for 5. Hey, Poker Room, you guys need another hour, don't you? Come on. Right. Frank Frangie, voice of the Jags, and the Frangie Show here with us. What's up, man? How are you?
I am doing great, Mike. It's hot out here. It's good. It's kind of fun to see another team out here. Shoot, just to see a different color, right? And I think it gets the guys excited. I think they've got a little pep in their step out there. I mean, it's still a practice. But it's a practice, and again, you're not hitting your own guys, and I think that's a cliche, but I do think there's something to it, so it's going to be a fun day.
A lot of teams do it, you know, and most fans, I think, want to see what the tally is on who wins the fisticuffs and all that. But the big thing, don't get anybody hurt, and for the players, I do think it's important to give them, or it's beneficial. It may not be important. Not every team does it every year, and the teams that win the Super Bowl, they don't do it. So it can't be the end-all, be-all. But look at the Patriots. They're doing it with their second team already, you know, here. And it seems like they have a pretty good handle on how to make it to the postseason.
Well, that's right. And I think you said it right. You don't have to do it to win a Super Bowl. But smart teams, a lot of smart teams have done this. Look, it's why wouldn't you? I don't care what business you're in, Mike. Why wouldn't you work with, conference with, talk with other people in your industry, learn a little bit? You may see something these other guys do that you take something from it. You measure yourself against them. And the whole fisticuffs things, I'm going to say this and then someone's going to be, there'll be a fight because there always are. But so much has been made of it nowadays. Did you know these coaches have said, don't fight? You know by now they've had to have said it 1,000 times.
Yeah, the Bears-Patriots made an agreement that there will be zero tolerance whatsoever. So Malcolm Butler and Alshon Jeffrey were pushing each other. See you later. They threw him out of practice this week.
Stork got thrown out yesterday out of practice for the Patriots. So
he seems like he's itching to get thrown out of any practice.
He wants to get thrown out of a media day. Okay, I mean, Ryan Stork.
Were you there?
Ornery guy.
The least approachable guy I think I've ever interviewed, certainly in that kind of setting, but that's his issue and their issue up there. What didn't you like? Everyone's talking about what we liked coming out of the first preseason game. What I'm not saying cause for concern, but what are you keeping your eye on to make sure it gets better?
Yeah, you know, it's an obvious answer, but you don't want to see a guy wide open in the middle of the field by 20 yards and they tackle him and they run the same play again and he's wide open again. I think Telvin Smith bit both times, but I've also got to wonder if Tashawn Gibson's out there. Peyton Thompson was out of position. I wonder, and again, I'm not a coach, but I do know that both times Telvin Smith was involved. He was one of the culprits. I don't think anybody would debate that. And I think the other thing is, you got to have an eraser back there. So that gave me cause for concern. Also, the kick returns. Look, I mean, I know it's early, and you're supposed to, if you're going to mess up now so you can get it corrected, but the kick coverage wasn't good the whole night. I mean, two or three times now.
Right.
The kick coverage was bad. So I think, and there are obvious answers, Mike, but I think those things. I think two big plays in the middle of the field. One, okay, it's a breakdown. It's your first game. Your backup free safety's playing. Two, I think it's a concern. And I think the kick coverage.
And I think, look, when you look at specifically what you're talking about with defense, I think it points to what all fans are kind of frustrated by right now is we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
You know, Gibson wasn't out there. Jalen Ramsey wasn't out there. And it's not that I'm upset that those guys aren't playing in week 1 of the preseason. It's that for a team that has all these new pieces coming in, we want to know what it looks like when they're all playing together. We haven't seen it yet. And that's kind of the concern, too, for me on the offensive line. They played really well last Thursday night. But that's not going to be the five that they're going to have out there. I want to see the five on that.
Well, side. The problem with the five is they're not sure who they are because of the injury to Beecham. That's the problem. That's why Will Beatty was here to talk to them. That's why I think they were pretty convinced. You never know with an ACL, but I think they were pretty convinced they were going to have Beecham, and I think they were pretty committed to moving Jokel inside and trying to go with that group. Tony, I think that was the plan.
Yep.
I think Beecham not being able to work and then Wells getting hurt messed everything up. I think now they've got to play Joker at left tackle. He did okay, by the way. But they've got to play him at left tackle now, and that cuts into the reps he would be getting at left guard. That's the concern with both Beecham and Wells down. You really can't play Joker at guard. And I think it was clear they wanted to get him guard reps. I mean, out here, with Beecham nowhere near, they were getting him guard rep after guard rep after guard rep. So I think that's the concern there. This week you'll feel a little better because I do think you'll see a full quarter with the starters. I think they'll play 20-some-odd plays, would get you maybe even into the second quarter. And then, of course, Cincinnati will be a game for a half. So you'll feel better about the things you said in the next couple games, I think.
See Ackerman over there, by the way. You know the Franchi show's big, Tony, because, look, we get a lot of the same apparel. Occasionally, just on the odds that you and I end up some days wearing the same 10-10 XL shirt.
Yeah. They people provide the shoes?
The shoes!
Well, here's the problem.
They've got matching sneakers.
Here's the problem with the bright yellow, bright green shoes. One day, Ack will be young and hip like me to pull those off, Tony. Right now, he's striving.
Is that right?
That's the guy striving right now.
He looks like a fish out of water.
Yeah, there's no
bit.
Question. He's striving right now is what he's doing.
Frank, on the offensive line, if Beecham's not ready to open the season, is Reed the guy? Has Reed put himself in position to be the guy you'd expect to be the left guard?
I think if Linder is back at center, Shatley probably gets the first crack at left guard. He's been here longer. He knows this thing. He was with these coaches last year. They like him now. They're not quite sure how and when to use him. So my guess is if Beecham can't play and there's no Wells, I really do think it might have been Wells and Jokel over there, but if Beecham and Wells are not available, Wells won't be. If Beecham's not available, my guess is, Mike, it would be Jokel, Shatley, Linder, Cannon, Parnell. Now, that's a guess. But I think Reed did okay, and Reed will probably be the first guy off the bench in that setting, and who knows who the first tackle is off the bench. But I think if they played today and didn't have Beecham, they would have Shally be the left guard.
Just of note, they brought back Jock McClendon today as well, so a little bit more offensive line depth. I know Gus said they were just doing kind of due diligence on Will Beatty. The initial reporting was they offered him a contract. I think it was maybe a little beyond due diligence. I think you're right. They don't know who is the swing tackle as of this moment. Get well soon, Kelvin Beecham.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't. I've asked around a little bit. I'm not convinced they offered Beatty a contract. I think Beatty camp spread that around. I think Schefter got it from Beatty or his camp. But they certainly were intrigued. They certainly worked him out, and they're keeping an eye on him. And look, he's got his own health stuff. But I think that's an area. That's an area of concern. Look, Beecham's dressed today. The good thing is they're still not going to play till September 11th. Now, the more reps you get together obviously matter, but they're still not going to play for a while. I still think they have a tepid hope that they will have Beecham by the time Green Bay gets here.
And I think it's one of the benefits of having 2 days where you're scrimmaging against Tampa where, look, Saturday night I expect Luke Jokel to be the left tackle because Beecham's not healthy enough to be out there yet.
Agreed.
But today and tomorrow they can run Jokel at guard. And he's going to get live reps against somebody who's not wearing a Jaguars uniform because they're not allowed to hit Blake Bortles today.
You're right.
They're allowed to on Saturday, so I think that is a tangible benefit for this team trying to get him work there.
Tony, the other thing to watch is, as Mike asked a minute ago, assuming Linder's going to play this week, watch the left guard spot. Because I think if you've got Linder back, you've got your right tackle, right guard, your center. Let's assume now Jokel's your left tackle for now. Now it's a competition at left guard.
Yeah.
And I think Reed's in it, obviously. I think Shatley's in it. I don't think they've completely closed the door on Bernardo, although he's had a very poor camp. So that's the position of note, really, coming into Saturday night's game.
Lost my train of thought there. Oh, Marquise Lee. Nice first start to the preseason for him. 4 for 49, Frank. Look, we know he's capable. If he's healthy, the question is, when will he ever be healthy? What does he mean to this football team if he is healthy this year?
Yeah, I was telling the story yesterday, Mike. When Florida had the really good teams, 07, 08, the Tebow teams, right? They had all these NFL receivers, Aaron Hernandez, Riley Cooper, David Nelson, Lewis Murphy, all going to the league, right? I mean, that's a plethora of NFL receivers, and they look like NFL receivers. But when they threw the ball to Percy Harvin, it looked different. It was different. Okay, no matter how many, they had all these good NFL receivers, good college receivers that are going to play in the NFL. But when he threw the ball to Harvin, it looked different. We all remember that. That's how it looked the other night. I think Allen Robinson's a superstar. I think he's a perennial Pro Bowler. I think he's the first megastar they've had come through here, probably since Maurice Jones-Drew. I think he's that good a player. But Marquise Lee is different. He's got that burst. It looked different, didn't it? The first ball he caught the other day looked different. And so what he gives them is, it's a cliche because everybody says it, but it's true. Cliches usually are true. He does take the top off the defense. He does make you play differently. And, Lord, I hope he can be healthy for those reasons.
And, look, it means potentially they have two guys that are that type of guy because I agree. I think Allen Robinson is a superstar. And you see the comfort level he has going after going to the Pro Bowl and being really good out there in that game against the best of the best in the league. He's come in, he's been great all offseason, and then he shows up and makes those three catches in the first preseason game. That dude's a star, and if they can get that out of Marquise, because Marquise was that at USC. They don't give out the Biletnikoff Award. You earn that, and he was the best receiver in the country 1 year in college football. He just hasn't been healthy enough to show that on the field. If he can be, then they have the potential of something really special at that position.
You know, Allen Robinson, by the way, I've gone from, on these 50-50 balls, I've gone from thinking, they had to use him in that role, to he's got a chance to make that catch, to I've gotten to the point now that when Allen Robinson is covered by a guy, it's almost like he's open because he always catches it. He catches more balls while covered than I think anybody I've ever seen. I don't know that I can remember a player in college or pro, and we tend to remember the most recent guy best. I know that. But do you ever remember a guy that caught more balls while covered than Allen Robinson?
I mean, he's so tall, and you saw that against Buster Screen on the very first catch that he made where he just stopped and turned around, and Screen looked like a little kid kind of behind him trying to climb up his back or something. You cannot stop that play, and he's strong enough. He's not a thick, thick guy, but he's strong enough that he can handle the contact, and he has great concentration, and he's those contested balls, that 45-yarder down the middle of the field's a case in point right there. So
I thought the 45-yarder down the field, by the way, was the best example of growth of all of them. Okay, first the hard count to get the guy to jump. Then the presence of mind to know you've got the free play. Then A-Rob continuing through the route. Then executing the play at the back end. I thought that every component of that play showed growth of all these guys on offense as much as anything I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, there's been some nitpicking about could he have led him a little bit more to the right. You see a safety coming in from the right side. It's like, man, you got a free play. You picked up 45 yards down the center of the field. I'm okay with that. You know, I think I can live
with that. We'll take more of those.
Frank, our question of the day today, we asked folks who would qualify as a surprise veteran cut for this football team. And we've kicked some of the names around, so there's different degrees of surprise, certainly. Yeah. You know, Blake Bortles not getting cut, right? But, you know, who would fit in that category, at least as a contender for you?
Yeah, I think the three names people discuss the most are Denard Robinson, maybe Tyson Alualu, and then the real sleeper of the group, and I don't think he's going to get cut, but it's Cindric Marks. They've got a lot of three techniques. He's still banged up. I'm still not sure. Some of the guys in the booth, we're not sure he's completely rehabbed from that knee. Forget the arm. The knee injury was so devastating when he had it last game of the year. So I think Denard is the first guy because I don't think Denard's going to make the team. All right. So in my
Corey Grant will get the last spot.
I do. I think Corey and I think Jonas Gray's going to be on the team. Now he's got to get on the field too. He's been banged up, but assuming Jonas Gray's healthy, I think he'll be on the team, and I think Corey Grant will be on it. So he's the guy I don't think is going to make it. If I had to guess right now. Alualu's a guy that they keep getting, they keep bringing in more defensive linemen, but he's a steady guy, never misses a down, never misses a game, always in great shape, plays really hard. So of the three, Denard Robinson might be the most likely for me.
Yeah, and with Alualu, he can play multiple positions on that offense. I just would hate to see Cindric Marks, knowing what he's capable of. And I get it. Sometimes guys get injuries that they don't ever come back from and they don't ever regain that. You always think, well, he's going to be that, and they don't turn out to be. But, man, I would be very careful about letting Cindric Marks go.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to. I'm trying to come up with a
name. Oh, I understand, but I'm not putting that on you. That's been a name that's been thrown out there quite a bit.
It has. I don't think Cindric Marks is going to get cut. I don't think Tyson Alualu is going to get cut. We talked about it. I counted wrong. I counted 11. It was 10. But I still haven't changed my mind. I think they're going to keep all 10 of those D linemen. I think they got to find a way to do that. I think they're going to keep them all, though. I think they're all going to be on the team, all 10 of those guys.
Yeah, I don't think it's an unreasonable amount of guys to keep, but it's pretty clear who the 10 are as well at the same time. So we'll see. I think, you know, Sheldon Day not being able to be out there full-time either helps Cindric Marks a little bit, too, because he looks so good early on in training camp.
Yeah, there's no chance Sheldon won't be on the team.
Oh, of course, Sheldon,
But you're right. If you don't know how much he's going to play, I agree with you. Look, I think Cindric Marks is here. If you asked me to guess Alualu or Marks who gets cut, I'd probably say Alualu. But I don't think either one of them are getting cut. I think Denard Robinson probably will.
All right, Frank Frangie, he will make the cut on Saturday night as the Jags open up the home portion of their preseason schedule. Right here, 7:30 kick at Everbank versus the very same Tampa Bay Buccaneers that are on the practice field with them right now. Thank you, Frank.
All right, fellas, anytime.
We'll see you, buddy. There he goes, the voice of the Jags, and, of course, the Frangie Show afternoons for as little a time as they can possibly go each day here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. We'll come back. Tony, you got the state in football. We got the Honda drive around the NFL. We're going to hear from Gus Bradley coming up in a little bit. He had a lot to say after practice yesterday in anticipation of these joint practices. Tom Coughlin out at practice today among the luminaries out here, stalking the sidelines, taking it all in. So you've got a lot of clout and a lot of fans out here as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we're live at Everbank. It's Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. I'm always talking about what a great option they are, really anytime, but particularly for lunch. You know, you think sandwiches on the go. You think, it's my lunch hour. I know I can make it in quickly to the Circle K or the Kangaroo Express, and I can get in, get out, not get taken and raked over the coals for all my money, and I'm going to come out with a delicious, satisfying lunch. But breakfast is happening with the Dandy line as well. Dandy and Anytime Deli, they've got the new breakfast sliders out. And if you haven't tried one, you need to because it may be the best breakfast value for food on the go you're going to find. Two big sausage patties, each with a slice of tasty melted cheddar cheese on a fresh baked bun they call a baby brioche. And it's absolutely the perfect size for eating on the go. And the price, are you kidding me? $3. You're absolutely not going to beat it, folks. So, hey, whatever the variety, whether it's breakfast stuff that's spicy with a little kick, you like some classics like the tuna salad like I do, anytime you're hungry, folks, pop in and make yours a Dandy. Anytime you're hungry, go out and make yours a Dandy and do it today.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you all week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Tony, kind of a light day, actually, in football history, if the interwebs are to be believed. 1951, the 18th Chicago All-Star Game. Man, everyone will be glad when we're out of August, so they stop hearing about these.
Yeah.
Cleveland knocking off the All-Stars 33-0, which reminds us once the Browns were a good organization.
What year was that?
1951.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Why did that surprise? What? How early the All-Star Game started?
Yeah,
that was the 18th incarnation of the game, and they.
Well, because the Browns were a part of the AAFL. They weren't even in the NFL yet. I don't think in 51.
That's what I got for you.
Yeah.
18th NFL Chicago All-Star Game. Browns over the All-Star.
I'd have to look at that. Let me look at that.
Born on this date in 1968, the father of Heisman contender Christian McCaffrey. Is that how Ed's better known these days? Or is he better known for his playing days? Two rings with the Broncos in the 90s. Made one Pro Bowl. You look at his numbers. Yeah, I think he had 3 1,000 yard seasons. He was a good but not great player in his day. Very good receiver along with Rod Smith for the Denver Broncos in the late 1990s. And, of course, is the dad of Christian McCaffrey, who plays at Stanford and is one of the leading contenders for the Heisman Trophy this year. And Antoine Randall L., formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Washington Redskins, maybe one or two others.
Indiana Hoosier great.
Indiana Hoosier great Antoine Randall L. Turned 37 years old and infamously came out recently and said he wouldn't play again, knowing what he knows now. And then he backtracked on those comments because no one can be seen to be less of a man than suggesting that their mental health is worth preserving at the cost of just going out there and getting your body beat up. But anyway, Antoine Randall L., hope he has most of his faculties remaining, 37 years old today. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. If you're a snorer or you have one in the family, the Somnomed Custom Fit Mouth Guard could be your solution. Call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or just visit jamesjmccall.com. You can get a complete list of their comprehensive care services right there. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Shortly after arriving in San Diego for the team as in the Arizona Cardinals joint practice with the Chargers, Cardinals coach Bruce Arians was transported to a local hospital for further medical evaluations after experiencing stomach pain. NFL insider Ian Rappaport gave an update this morning on Arians' status, saying he's expected to be released from the hospital later on this morning to rejoin the team after tests last night. John McClain, who covers the NFL for the last 35 years for the Houston Chronicle, had a tweet get a lot of attention yesterday after Texans practice. John McClain tweeted out, quote, Clowney refused to do an interview as he was walking off the field. Maybe he would have gotten injured talking to us. Wide receiver Cecil Shorts fired back, you have a job to do, but to throw low blows or downgrade a player is uncalled for, period, grow up. Left tackle Dwayne Brown fired back. Quote, I have no respect for jokes about a player's injury. You don't play this sport and have no idea what our bodies go through. And moving on to the next story, Ian Rappaport also reported Tuesday that defensive tackle Marcel Darius is facing a 4-game suspension for yet another violation of the NFL's substance abuse policy. Rappaport told the NFL Network that the ban stems from either, quote, a failed or missed drug test involving his use of marijuana, noting the Bills learned about the suspension just 2 hours before the public did. Darius served a 1-game suspension to start last season from a May 2015 arrest for felony possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones and former commissioner Paul Tagliabue have been selected as finalists for the Contributor Committee for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2017. And two more stories here, guys. The 49ers lost quarterback Thad Lewis to a torn ACL and have signed Christian Ponder to replace him. And to finish out the Honda Drive around the NFL today, we'll start with a hot take from Hard Knocks. And it comes courtesy of William Hayes on the most recent episode.
Will Hayes absolutely believes and is totally convinced that there are mermaids and they do exist. Okay. As a matter of fact, I remember him getting really excited about the potential for moving out here. Because he knew that he would be closer to mermaids here on the West Coast.
But it's a mermaid, though.
It could be. You find different species in the water every single day.
I haven't had the luxury of overhearing his discussions regarding the dinosaurs.
Nah, because that ain't real. Dinosaurs never really existed. No, they never existed, Coach. Coach, that's not true. I don't believe in dinosaurs.
I just can't fathom a T-Rex walking around here, you know, something that man ain't never seen.
No, but dinosaurs never walked this earth.
All this fairy tale stuff, you know, something that I'm not going to teach my kids about. That's it, man.
So if you missed that, that was Rams defensive end William Hayes saying he doesn't believe in dinosaurs because man has never seen them, but he believes in mermaids, and that comes just a week after the quarterback, their first-round draft pick, Jared Goff, had no idea which direction the sun rose in. So the Rams off to a good start here in 2016.
Well, the best part of that is the whole, I'm not going to teach my kids any of that fairy tale stuff, but you're going to dive into mermaids?
Right.
I mean, that's a direct fairy tale thing.
You remember that mockumentary they did on the mermaid thing? Like,
yeah.
It was like 2 years ago, something like that, right? I don't want to throw them under the bus like this, but I'm pretty sure Brent Beard might have thought that was a real show.
Oh, did he really?
He might have. And honestly, as you're watching it, they try to present it like it's real, you know, but it's like the generic newscaster. You're like, who is that?
It was like 2 or 3 years ago with the Megalodon.
Yes.
Movie on Shark Week.
Yes.
Where they had the documentary footage, quote unquote, at the beginning of the show.
Right.
And then, like, the underwater, like, this looks like a shark that has to be at least 60 feet long. And it turned out that the whole thing was a fake. Yeah, maybe they both got duped.
Yeah, people maybe have Brennan all kinds of funny ideas about dinosaurs. I guess the bones are just what? I'm not sure.
They're plants.
Plaster of Paris.
Somebody planted all those fossils.
Yes.
Down there in the ground. I do want to. We talked about the Cleveland Browns being in the Chicago Expo, whatever we're calling that game, in 1951. The Cleveland Browns actually joined the NFL in 1950 after the AAFC folded, so they won their championship the first year they played in the NFL.
There you go. And so I thought you were going to tell me they joined in 52, and that was their entrance exam. Can you beat the collegiate All-Stars? By the way, Tyler, do you keep a running list in your head of great Indiana Hoosiers? You know, if being from Indiana, I got to imagine Larry Bird is like, I know he was only at IU for like a semester, but
yeah.
I got to imagine Larry Bird is the top of the Indiana pecking order. Who fills out, the top three for you, Tyler?
For all sports?
Yes, all sports. When you think about Indiana pride, who are we talking about here?
Isaiah? Me being a young guy, I would actually put Isaiah in there, even though obviously I didn't see him play, but everybody knows Isaiah Thomas. Antoine Randolo was probably the most famous football player, I'd say, most accomplished. We don't really have too much of a history there. And then on the basketball side, a recent guy I would say is Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo, yes, because Indiana doesn't have much rich basketball history to draw from.
But Tevin Coleman, man, Tevin Coleman's next.
He's coming. He's coming for you, Devontae Freeman.
Festus Ezeli has a couple rings now. He's hanging on over there in Golden State for the Doors.
So you're all about the college stuff. You're not all about the like the Pacers or anything like that, are you?
No, I'm a Northwest Indiana guy, so I'm from more of the Chicago area. I'm a Bulls guy.
Oh, well, there you go. That's right. I've heard him.
I'm not really a true Hoosier, as the rest of the state considers us.
I got you. That's fair. Some people consider us South Georgia, you know, so you're like South Illinois, it sounds like,
Concerning Hoosiers in the NFL, we have like Randall L., Tracy Porter, Cody Latimer in Denver. That guy's been a bust so far. But other than that, not much.
He's having a good camp, though, Cody Latimer is.
Tracy Porter's not bad.
Tracy Porter's a good player, yeah. You got Jordan Howard, too, but... just a rookie, hasn't done anything yet. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to hear from Gus Bradley as he spoke after practice yesterday. Tony, as I peek under the fence here, it appears there are bodies moving around on the practice field.
It's one-on-one right
now. That's what I can discern right now. Jags-Bucks day one of a two-day joint practice session then on the field this Saturday night for the preseason opener. The home opener is sold out against the Green Bay Packers, as I heard the guys discuss it this morning on the drill. The Packs sell out wherever they go. Win that game.
Yes, they do.
Win that game. Go out to San Diego, win that game. What are the ticket sales going to be like for the Baltimore game? I mean, how tough would it be? I would imagine it would be a tough ticket to get.
Yeah, and I saw Mike Florio when he put up the article, you know, talking about the Green Bay sellout.
Right.
On Pro Football Talk said, this is a team that obviously has a lot of expectations on it, so maybe you do want to get your hands on tickets to Baltimore because Minnesota and Oakland may not be easy. when we get to the later part of the year. Yeah,
right. So you got other ones that are going to be a little bit more high profile coming in later on the season as well. Coming back, the head coach of your Jaguars, Gus Bradley. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs. In-home, commercial plumbing, industrial plumbing, septic systems, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter can figure out what's going on if there's an issue, and they can solve it even better. Same-day service, weekends included. The right people with the right equipment is the combination that makes Metro Rooter so successful, and they've been that way since 1978, serving Jacksonville and beyond. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
No one covers the Jaguars.
That ball is caught. Julius Thomas, touchdown Jacksonville.
Like 1010XL, 92.5 FM, home of the Jaguars. Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, here we are live just outside the Florida Blue practice fields at Everbank as the Jags and the Bucks go at it right now. I don't know, Tony, how much you've kept up with Jags Twitter today, but I haven't heard any big rumblings or any too many oohs and ahs of anybody getting tangled up. It's early. There's a lot of stretching and individual work that goes on.
Yeah, they're doing one-on-ones right now. I know O-line versus D-line. A lot of people have their eyes on that. I was watching a little bit on Jaguars.com live, and it looked like the Jags D-line was generally getting the better of the Bucks offensive line. But I know Fowler and Yannick both got stoned a little bit in their one-on-one drills. But in general, the Jaguars D-line won that drill.
I'm looking forward to seeing Noah Spence because he was a guy that was much discussed. In fact, Tony, come on. When we were polling people going into the draft, if so-and-so's not available with the fifth pick, where do you want to go? Noah Spence. How many of those did we get? Now, a lot of this was before the trade-ups, and you knew it was going to go quarterback to the top, which pushed a couple more position players down the line. But a lot of people were intrigued by Noah Spence, who, of course, shined at the Senior Bowl week. Jack's got a good look at him. He's had off-field issues that got him kicked out of Ohio State, but seemingly has put himself back on the straight and narrow. So he'll be a fun guy to watch from that perspective, the old what might have been. Maybe you dodge a bullet. You never know, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe you're just really, really happy that you have Miles
Jack. Maybe it's Green Beckham. You don't know where a year into it they're sitting there going, oh, my gosh, what have we done with this guy? He's just such a headache. He won't do what we're asking him to do. Maybe
Mike
Bularkey,
by the way, says has nothing to do with his attitude or performance. Or we just needed the depth. It was a need we had on the offensive line. I don't think you're dumping your high second-round pick the very next year to get a backup swing guard tackle.
No, and you can protect the guy on the way out the door if you want because you don't want the players to think that you're going to jab him on the way out
The
door.
Right?
But that's what that feels like to me. It certainly doesn't feel genuine. You're not trading away a guy who is the only size-speed combination guy you have on your roster at wide receiver that you drafted in the second round the year before and was actually pretty productive as a rookie for the Titans last year for a swing interior offensive lineman. Unless there's some kind of issue with the way that he's doing or not doing things for that football team right now.
So I don't know if I'm happier that they dumped the guy who had a lot of potential or that they don't have him around because he can stir discontent right from behind the scenes.
As I said last night, I just hope it blows up in the Titans' face. Whatever they do, just blow up in their face. It's
no doubt. All right, so let's get to Gus Bradley. This is him yesterday on the eve of these joint practices with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, talking about what he wants to see over the next 2 days.
Well, we're going to have a meeting tonight, you know, and my hopes is that, you know, when you go against a team, another opponent like that that comes in, you get a lot of different looks. So it's going to challenge us mentally. We're going to see a different looks than we've seen all through training camp and in the game, which is good. Their defensive scheme is different than anything that we've seen. So, you know, I'm hoping that it'll just add to, you know, our experiences. You know, I'm hopeful that it's clean. You know, guys compete their tails off, and we get a lot out of it. But that strain that I talked about today, I know the next couple of days it'll be that way, but we need that. I'm really, really excited about this. Really excited for our team. I know our guys are too.
And it's beneficial, this next question, Gus was asked about the corners getting a chance to go up against different receivers. It's beneficial for both these teams. As good as the Tampa Bay Bucks wide receivers are, the corners again. You get used to what these guys do.
Right.
And so today they get the opportunity to go up against Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee and some of these other guys in a different uniform. And Vernon Hargraves, the first-round pick, he certainly needs that kind of exposure in his first year in the NFL. So it works both ways. But Gus was asked about the cornerback position and the opportunity to go up against different guys.
I think that's another challenge. You're going to go against, you know, it's just like Allen Robinson. He's going against Jalen and House, and then he goes against Colvin. He's going against different styles of corners. And now that's good for our corners this week. I mean, they're going to go against different styles of receivers that they've seen. And so anytime you can incorporate that into practice, that's why I think these are, like I said, I'm really excited for. I think it's going to be really beneficial. You know, you still got to trust your technique, do your job, and not, you know, try to do something that is out of our fit or out of our scheme. So I think that'll be the challenge in a more of a heightened practice environment to stay true to your teachings.
And you, again, you go back to, let's say there weren't all the trades where the quarterbacks went 1 and 2, right? And maybe Tunsil and one other position player were off the board. And maybe Ramsey was that guy. He wasn't available to you. I don't recall feeling there was this great desire from the organization to bring Vernon Hargraves here. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I know a lot of the fans said, hey, he seems to be the next best corner. Certainly went very high in the draft. But, you know, there are similarities between these two franchises, right? With the young mm-hmm. quarterbacks, you've got a lot of Jaguar legacy on the Buccaneers roster, both the coaching staff and the actual playing roster. And now you've got two first-round picks at the same position from rival schools staying in the state of Florida, and so tracking them over time and how their careers work out will be something interesting as well. Gus talked yesterday about whether or not he thinks they'll actually get more out of these practices over the next 2 days, like Mike DiRocco suggested, than they will out of any of the preseason games remaining.
Well, I think what we got to do is be smart that it's not, you know, high intensity, another high intensity. And, you know, so we'll be smart with how we go about the next couple days here with our team and to make sure that we get everything we can out of it. But it's still practice. And, you know, we're still in that learning mode and still, you know, hey, Blake, still challenge yourself to fit balls in tight windows. DBs, go ahead and, you know, try different things out there and see how it works for you. So it won't be considered like a game for that aspect.
They are being careful. I mean, out there in full pads today. Tomorrow they'll just be out in shells, so they're not even full pads tomorrow for the second day of scrimmaging against the Bucs. And then, of course, the game coming up on Saturday night. Gus Bradley was asked after practice yesterday as well about Jalen Ramsey, who returned to practice for the Jags after missing 5 days in a row, and was asked about if he's still getting used to kind of the practice at the NFL level and working on special teams a little bit.
For him, you know, it's more getting a feel for him. I think he's trying to understand how practice setup is, how much time does he have before to get ready to go. Now he's incorporating special teams. How does that change? You know, what does a day off do for him? And so I think we're getting closer with him. I know that he felt really good the other day. I have not talked to him today, but to try to manage that and see. But we do that with all of our guys, you know, especially some of our older veterans.
I would imagine Jaguar fans, that's a couple of things they want to see most are Ramsey and Tashaun Gibson, who didn't get to play in week one. We'll see if they get that opportunity Saturday night against the Bucs. On the other side, Gus responded to a question about what challenges that the Buccaneer defense will present to the Jags offense over the next couple days.
For example, they're more of a split safety team. We're more of a single safety middle team. So for Blake and the quarterbacks and the offense, a completely different look than they've seen all during training camp. So we're going to see that during the year. So that's what I think will be, you know, good looks from that.
The team has been willing to acknowledge that they probably got it wrong in letting Darryl Smith walk away instead of getting him back here in Jacksonville.
Right, to the point it's become almost bigger than, you know, yeah. What, you made a mistake, you cut him loose too early. Better too early than too late is usually the mantra, right? But this has almost become like a giant thing. Dave Caldwell, the one that got away was Darryl Smith.
Especially with the struggles they've had at linebacker for the last couple of years. It looks like it's getting better. You know, with the addition of Miles Jack Telvin going into another year, you got the veteran in the middle and Paul Posluszny, but certainly they've acknowledged that Darryl Smith is a guy that they probably let walk away a little bit too soon. He's back on a practice field here in Jacksonville today in a Buccaneers uniform. Gus was asked about having to release Darryl Smith a few years ago and him coming back today.
I can tell you this, that, you know, the meeting I had with him, it was unbelievable. I still remember where it was, and he was an unbelievable person, unbelievable pro. And so I had great conversations with him. And, you know, I'm just happy for him. He's extended his career and done a great job. And, you know, he continues to play at a high level. So look back at it. You know, you always go back and look at things. But it wasn't, you know, a topic lately.
Not lately, certainly. But, I mean, he's played fantastic football
really
in Baltimore since he left. And now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers getting a chance to play strong side, where he's listed as the starter on the depth chart right now in training camp, Tony. And I do think it was such a unique situation in Jacksonville. A lot of teams try to rebuild, right, and strip it down. Very few go as far as the Jags did, because oftentimes you get that, all right, we're going to take it down to this level, but we still have to go out there and play football games. We still want to try to win as many as we can. I honestly don't think they cared how many they won that first year. You know what I mean? They're going to go in and try to win, but every move was not made for that year. Every move was made for not even the next year. Every move was made with 3-4 years down the line in mind. And let's say the presence of Darryl Smith could have won him one extra football game along the way. Would that have, you know, in their mind, their calculation at the time, stopped the development of some other young guy we brought along? You know, is it just patching a hole that we know is going to spring another week? We're better off just trying to get some young bodies in there, throw them into the fire, find out if it can work. Obviously, Darryl Smith, it's worked well for him. He's got to play a lot of football and play very well, but definitely he would have been a starter on this football team, no question, all the time he was gone. Gus talking about the secondary, and, you know, have had some guys in and out. Certainly not everybody, as we mentioned, playing in the first preseason game, but right now they're trying to establish a standard, and he talked about that.
You've got, you know, Prince, House, Jalen, you know, Nick, Grazi, D-Mac. There's some great competition going there. So anytime you get another guy in the mix right there, you know, it just keeps it going. So they really challenge each other. They really do. They watch each other. They help each other out. But I think they're all trying to reestablish a standard. And it's cool to see.
Continuing to talk about the secondary a little bit, Gus Bradley was also asked about Deshaun Gibson and talked about him and the discipline he's shown in camp.
You know what? His big thing, I think I mentioned it in OTAs and minicamp, is just the focus of playing middle third and some of the other things that we're asking him, and being disciplined. And you're seeing that not only in his assignment, but his alignment. I think he's understanding the importance of his alignment and how it positions him to make plays. So you're seeing a more strict discipline on that. And because of that, you're seeing him make more plays.
Everybody loves red zone work, I think, when you come out to a training camp practice, because, you know, it's either you're getting goal line, you're getting situations where it's either score or not score. And these are the money areas of the field. And if you're successful at a high percentage of time or better than the league average, you're probably going to be better than the league average in the win column as well. Gus talked about the emphasis that they put on red zone during this training camp.
With the first group, you know, I thought the offense, I think we were, 1-for-2 or you know, things like that. So I think it's a process that builds up. Defensively, even though I think they were, 2-for-17 or something like that, we had some busted coverages and just some overthrown passes, so it never met to our standard. We still have a ways to go there, but it's starting to come together. I like the way our tighter coverage is starting to show up, that more of the passes are contested, even in practice, so guys are battling for them. So part's good. You like to see that.
Gus has been very careful about saying words like "we got this" or "we got it down."
Three most dangerous words.
He's not going to say that kind of thing. He talked yesterday after practice saying they still have a ways to go, but practice has been helping.
Good practice today as far as tempo. I thought it was very straining, very challenging situations. Had some good back and forth as far as the offense and defense. But again, another a couple segments of third down and red zone for our guys, a two-minute situation. So some 2 minutes incorporated in there, as well as a team run situation. So very pleased. It was training, but you know, we need that right now. We have a ways to go yet, but I think these practices are helping us get to where we want to be.
Excuse me there, Gus. Didn't want to step on you there. We get the question sometimes, what does it matter with the regular seasonal roll around? None of this is going to matter. That's fine. You know, we cover the events as they happen, as we move towards, and this is important. Ultimately, winning and losing is the most important thing, but these are, they believe they're building the foundation pieces, the building blocks, so to speak, of having that kind of success. Tony, but going back to what Mike DiRocco said when he joined us early in the program today, there's some pressure. They got to win football games this year, just improving, we're getting better. That's not, to me, the standard you're looking for. Yeah, you always want to be getting better, but that's got to be a small part of the overall picture. It is a bottom line league ultimately, and I don't know what that number is, but you've got to win football games. And like D-Rock said, if you go out there and you get handled by Green Bay and you go out on the West Coast and Phillip Rivers has his way with you. And I don't think it's going to be that way because I do think the personnel is different. The schemes will be different because what Tayshaun Gibson allows them to play defensively. But you come back here in week three, 0-2, and you've lost a couple of 10-point ball games. I don't even want to contemplate what that's going to do to the enthusiasm level of the fan base.
No, and I don't want to think about that. In fact, earlier when we had D-Rock on and we were talking about the first four games of the season, and you mentioned the fact that Indianapolis doesn't scare you. They don't scare me either. And in my head, you know, the thought that flashed was, can they put Indianapolis in a hole early in the year in that fourth game? Can they be in a position where they're going to London and Indy's coming in 1-2, and maybe the Jags are coming in 2-1, so now you got the opportunity to swing that to a two-game lead over the Colts in the division.
Right.
Like, put yourself in that kind of position. Can they get themselves there? Like, that was the thought in my head, the thought of 0-2 and coming back here to play Baltimore and it being a game where it's like, man, they better win this one, or this thing's about to get really, really deep. There's not a whole lot of teams that make playoff runs from 0-3, 0-4 starts in the National Football
League. Right, and it's not something you want to dwell on, and you're not trying to cast a cloud over the season or anything like that. It's just a reality in the back of your mind. As much enthusiasm and positivity as we feel around the organization, it's not like we haven't felt that to some degree last offseason, for instance, and you ended up getting 5 wins in a year in which the division was as bad as you can ever remember it being. So, hey, just go out there, beat Green Bay, and really all this, the rest of this stuff, stay healthy against the Bucs. All the rest of it doesn't matter that much. Get to the regular season and start taking care of business. Still weeks to go for that, though, and still a few more minutes to go in this program today. The Fan Feedback Spotlight today asking you, as presented by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, which Jaguar veteran is in the biggest danger of being a surprise cut from this football team? We've had a lot of the same people put forth, though. We'll see if we get any other out-of-left-field submissions. We'll take a look on social media when we return in a moment. 641-1010 if you want to get in on the text line driven by Duval Ford, or even the phone lines for that matter. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we're live just outside Everbank at the Florida Blue practice fields on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars took the field today for day one of joint practice with the Tampa Bay Bucs. The teams will participate in a joint practice today and tomorrow. No more tickets are available for practice, and no walk-ups will be allowed if you haven't already registered for your ticket. Now, the second preseason game of the year is Saturday at 7:30 against the Bucs. So if you didn't get a ticket, don't worry. We'll see you at the bank on Saturday. Now, some key rookies were back at practice yesterday. Cornerback Jalen Ramsey and middle linebacker Miles Jack. One rookie to keep an eye on, though, who wasn't at practice with a back injury, was defensive tackle Sheldon Day. The Jags did announce that single game tickets are sold out for the season opener against Green Bay on September 11th. There is limited amount of standing room only tickets for sale now. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
This is Alan Hearn, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Alan Hearn's not practicing today, right?
Is that correct?
What we are led to believe. Do you see him come back out?
No, he was out there on the bike. Apparently, yeah. He was doing some work.
Right,
on
and
the
then
side,
he went in early, I thought.
I don't know. I didn't see him come by.
Oh, did he not? Okay.
I didn't see it.
He's not practicing today, though, but hopeful to catch up with him.
Yeah, he walked out with Mike Evans. I saw him walking out.
Okay.
But, I never saw him coming back in.
All right. Then I suppose he's out there maybe doing a little side work right now. And hopeful to catch up with him for the pregame show coming up this Saturday. You'll hear it at 4:30, getting you ready for the home opener in the preseason for the Jaguars, 7:30 kickoff this Saturday night. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Before we get to the fan feedback spotlight today, Tony, a couple of notes. Will Beatty, who the Jags had in last week, took a look at. He's working out for the Panthers today. Still being reported, based on the initial report from Adam Schefter, that the Jags offered him a deal. Frank said he asked around, and he's not convinced that they did. And not a complete outright correction of that, but it seems like that seems to be maybe one of those deals where Beatty's agent is trying to stir up a little bit of interest. Hey, if you want him, you better hop in with a contract offer. Philadelphia said to be keeping an eye on him as well. And the Jags brought back Jacques McClendon today, I guess, for offensive line depth. I don't think he was a particular standout when he was here the first time around, but he's a guy who's played football. You know, he's a vet. You could throw him in there, and he's not going to be, you know, swimming in waters that are too deep. I just don't know how good of a player he actually is, you know. Mackenzie Bernado not playing a snap the other day. Everyone says terrible training camp up to this point in time. May just be one of those guys they took a swing at and missed on. We'll find out, I guess, in the next few weeks.
Yeah, we will. I mean, he ran a little bit at center on Thursday night against the Jets, but didn't play much at guard, obviously.
Right.
So who knows how exactly they're even trying to use him at this point. But they know, they are aware of the issue they have, especially there on the left side of the offensive line right now. Just due to the injuries they've had in camp, it's put them in a bit of a squeeze with Beecham not being available, so they can't run Jokel really inside at guard. If any time that Blake Bortles is on the field taking a live rep, you're not going to have anybody but Jokel or Beecham out there to protect his blind side with Wells being injured, and I wouldn't have felt real great if Wells wasn't injured if he was out there playing left tackle if Bortles was on the field anyway. So they have issues on that side. They brought in Beatty to at least take a look at that. It doesn't sound like he's going to wind up being a member of the Jaguars, but at least kicking the tires on a guy that's probably the most high-profile guy available out there in free agency.
At least that, you know what, although if you had asked us 2 weeks ago who's the most high-profile offensive lineman, I don't know if Will Beatty's name would have come to mind.
Maybe Eugene Monroe.
Yeah, Eugene Monroe, who seems like his career is done at this point in time. It doesn't look like there's any inclination from the Jags to go backwards on the Eugene Monroe deal. By the way, my cousin, Peggy, was wishing her son a happy birthday on Facebook today, and so she noted that it was also Robert De Niro's birthday, Jorge Posada's birthday. Keep in mind they're in New York, so they've got that slant. Happy birthday, Irish Jaguar.
Oh, happy birthday.
Irish Jag Stevie Howland is celebrating, I'm sure, is, I don't know, I have no idea how old he is. What'd he say? 28, 29,
somewhere
something
in
like
there.
That? Yeah, something like
around
that.
Around there, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Happy birthday to Irish Jag out there. Today, asked you the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Who is the Jaguar, the veteran player, that would be most in danger of being a surprise cut? I don't know if that's being contradictory. If you're in danger, could it be a surprise? I don't
right.
know, but you get the idea. Which is a guy who's a vet that has played some significant football for this team or has a big name that you think could be in danger of not making the final 53-man roster? What did Twitter have to say on that?
Here's what we got from Will, probably Denard Robinson, especially if he sleepwalks through camp. Ba-dum-tsh.
Oh.
From Chris, most crushing would be Sin-Derek, but I have a feeling it will be Denard. Don't see a spot for him. From Isaiah, Josh Evans or Chad Henney. Henney's not getting cut.
No way.
Jarrell says, got to go with Marks because of the depth at defensive tackle and his talent level. From Irish Jaguar, happy birthday again. Not sure how much of a surprise it'll be, but I think Denard might be in trouble if Gray is healthy. From Chad, Tyson Alualu will be cut due to numbers and youth on the defensive line. Hashtag steal the show. Hashtag take it to the limit. And then Demetrius with safety Josh Evans. He isn't a big name, but he has always been healthy and reliable when called upon.
A couple on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Alualu gets mentioned here. Aaron Colvin. Aaron Colvin's not getting cut. Aaron Colvin's not going to get cut for one simple reason. You don't need to cut him, right? If you really didn't think Aaron Colvin deserved a spot on the team, you have the luxury of keeping him around for an extra month to see if you have any injuries in the secondary because he's not going to be playing that first month of the season. But that's not how they feel about him anyway. I think they feel like he's a very talented guy and will fit in as one of their top four cornerbacks this year. See if I've got any. I want to see a punt off between Anger and Nortman, as somebody said on there. We won that, by the way. Let's see. Anything else? Rick Mount. Oh, somebody threw that in there. That was obviously going back to the IU days. You remember Rick Mount, Tyler? You probably don't.
He's a Purdue guy, so I don't really consider him a
Purdue guy. He was a Purdue guy. It's the state of Indiana, however, so it doesn't count if he goes to Purdue, though, right?
No.
All right, that makes sense. You know, I mean, you're a fan of who you're a fan of and all that. All right, I think that covered most of it on the text line. Let me check in on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Once again, which Jaguar veteran the biggest danger of being a surprise cut before the start of the season? This team is so young overall, says Joshua. It's hard to determine exactly what a veteran is. I'd say maybe Tyson Alualu, and he goes on to make a few more comments about that. Alualu, Denard, and Derek Marks getting votes. Denard, Tyson. Michael Bennett or Alualu. Michael Bennett's an interesting guy. He's young. He's inexpensive, obviously. I think they feel like he has a bright future. But if you were going down the list of those 10 guys in who's most important on a particular game day, right? Who's most likely to help you on that game day? I don't know if Michael Bennett would be ahead of some of these other names that we're talking about.
Not if Cinderic Marks is going to make the roster. Then you're talking about if you keep in Cinderic and Tyson Alualu, you got four guys that can play the three, right? And I don't know if you're going to keep a fifth guy that basically just plays the three for you in Michael Bennett. He doesn't play a whole lot of that five technique on the big end spot for this team, and you'd have, you know, two guys that you feel really good about at that spot too, with Jared Odrick and Tyson Alualu, and even Cinderic Marks can move out there. It seems like they want to play Malik Jackson on the inside for virtually all of his snaps, which is fine for him to play the three and rush from the inside on third down as well. But I think it becomes just a bit of a numbers game for a guy like Michael Bennett, who may be a young, talented player in this league, but they got a bunch of young, talented guys on the defensive line right now.
Right. I think Bennett will be on this football team, is my guess. Dwayne Grotz getting mentioned as well, but I think, again, with the Colvin suspension, Dwayne Grotz is in pretty good shape, at least for the beginning portion of the season, and then his play may dictate what they do with him beyond that. Demetrius McCray and Evans will be gone, said Chad Lewis. I tend to agree with both of those right now, although I don't know if they qualify as surprises at this point in time. And a vote for Toby Gerhart as well. Poor Toby. By the way, guy came by and said, hey, listen to you guys all the time, listen to the station all day long. Love it. Take it easy on my son, by the way. Like, oh, yeah, who's that? Because I'm Jason's dad, Jason Myers. Oh, very nice to meet you.
So he listens every day. So next time you're calling in to talk badly about Jason, just know his dad is listening.
Hey, you know what? Talk, you know, just be honest about it. Don't be gratuitous about it. And, I mean, Tony, come on. We're getting people calling for him to be cut on the post-game show when he made all his kicks because he didn't make them pretty enough. And I understand it, man. You feel like, oh, he's just sneaking them in there. So, hey, kickers are people, too, and their parents at least have feelings. So it was cool of him to stop by, though. All right, day one wrapping up for us out here. Practice continues on. I think they're going to do about 12:30 today, right?
12:30, so yeah.
It's going to be a hot one out here. And if you didn't come out today and you are coming out tomorrow, make sure you stop by and say hello. You'll be easy to spot us on your way into the Florida Blue practice field. So thanks to Mike DiRocco from ESPN for joining us on the program today. Thanks to Frank Franchi for stopping by, the voice of the Jags. You'll hear him this afternoon giving you his thoughts on what he's been able to see during these first 90 minutes or so of practice. Glad we could bring you some Gus Bradley audio from yesterday as well. Tomorrow, more of the same. Another collection of Jaguar reporters to stop by. I was hoping Garrard was going to make it out. He texted me this morning. He said, last-minute change of plans. Not going to make it out. So we'll probably hook back up with David Garrard next week. Tom Coughlin out here taking in the practice course of Tampa Bay Bucks in town. And so it's been good to see a few of those guys like Paul Spicer and Mike Smith and I'm sure others over the next 24 hours or so. And then Saturday night, let's get it on. Let's pack this place out. As Tony said yesterday, don't be like some of these fans around the city. Look, if you got tickets and you're not going to use them, make sure somebody's got them that can use them. Because season ticket holders, you've already paid. Your cost is sunk.
Yep.
Make sure those tickets get used, and let's show up and represent. You only get 9 opportunities here in Jacksonville this year to congregate with your Bold City Brigade and Teal Street Hooligan brethren and the like. So those guys you don't have to worry about. They'll be out, and they'll be out in force on Saturday night. That does it for us today. Thanks to Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. For Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll say hello to the gentlemen of the Midday Chalk, and that's coming up straight ahead. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.